Aren't you grateful for a Savior that walks alongside us? Thank you, son. Oh, Jesus has come. Thank you so much for being here tonight. We're so grateful to have spent this day with you. Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. In the time we have remaining, I want to direct your attention to a passage of Scripture that's probably pretty familiar to most, if not all of you. 2 Corinthians is where we're going to turn. We appreciate your prayer for us as we head on down the road. We're headed to California and we're going to spend about 5 weeks out there doing different things, going to different churches and places and such. And we appreciate your prayer for safety as we go and for fruitful ministry. Our goal as we travel is to be an encouragement to local churches. That really is our goal. And I'm sure you've heard this before, the saying about evangelists, blow in, blow up, and blow out, right? Yeah, that's kind of funny. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of truth in that sometimes, and that's not our ministry. Our ministry is designed from our hearts to our hands to our voices to encourage and uplift local churches. And if you'd like to find out more about it, I won't say much, but we do have our CD table out there, and I'm sure some of you will want to be getting home quickly, and that's fine, because we got to load everything up tonight. So if you're going to pick up some CDs, if you'd help us out by hitting that pretty quickly, that would help us out because we're going to pack everything up and because we hit the road first thing in the morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 7, Paul says this, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Dear Lord, you know I need you tonight. Lord, would you help me? Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would work in this time we have remaining tonight. Encourage people. Challenge us, we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered why Christians have to suffer? According to some people on the television and even the radio and internet and such on YouTube, the YouTube evangelists, they tell us once you're a Christian, everything ought to be great. You ought to be healthy and wealthy, right? And if you're not, then it must be your problem because you just don't have enough faith. Well, tell that to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't get that memo, apparently, because he had trouble. He had difficulty. In fact, here he talks about a thorn in the flesh. I'm not going to hypothesize as to what that was. I'm grateful we don't know. We'd probably end up worshiping it. I have St. Paul's affliction. You know, that's probably what we'd end up doing. But I want to give you four reasons tonight that God will allow a Christian to suffer. And friend, tonight, in fact, let me give you five. Let's start with the thumb here, okay? Because first and foremost, if you're not saved, God will allow you to go through difficulty to draw you to himself. Amen. And that's not in our text here, but Paul already was a believer in Jesus Christ, so it's assumed here. But that's the first reason, if you want to put that there. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, oh, friend, tonight, trust him. I'm going through difficulty. How could God let this happen? Maybe he wants to bring you to the end of yourself. Then what about once we're saved? I want you to see the first reason for the Christian is this. It rids us of pride. And lest I should be exalted above measure. See that? Boy, if anyone in the Bible had an excuse to be proud, it would have been Paul, right? In fact, he tells us so in the very next part of the verse, through the abundance of the what? Revelations. What revelations is he talking about? Well, the Lord used the Apostle Paul to pen the majority of the New Testament. And the majority of, not all, but the majority of the church age doctrine that we find. I mean, he was taken up into the third heaven. He saw things that he's not allowed to tell us about. Doesn't that make you curious? I know something great, but I can't tell you. Tell me. Nope, can't tell you. Boy, if that would have been me, I would have been tempted to become proud. But Paul said, God gave me this thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. Listen, friends, tonight, if you're going through difficulty, if you're going through a hard time, realize that perhaps the Lord is allowing it in your life to rid you of pride, because pride is the roadblock to revival. Pride is the roadblock that keeps us from seeing God's blessing. God resisteth the who? The proud, but gives grace unto the who? The humble. Wouldn't it be horrible to find out we are the very ones God's resisting because we're trying to operate in pride? Pride can garb itself in spiritual clothes. I think it was in Sunday school this morning. We were talking about this very thing in the Crossroads class about, that was a great message for other people. I can think, Pastor, that was a wonderful message. I can think of four people who need that right now. None of them's me. Pride, right? Look at verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. The second reason God will allow a Christian to suffer, not only will it rid us of pride, but it readies us to pray. By the way, this is how we know this is not just a pain in the neck. You know, a thorn in the flesh and a pain in the neck are two different things, right? Pain in the neck is something just kind of inconvenient. It's kind of a pebble in your shoe that annoys you, kind of irritates you, but you don't always know that it's there. A thorn in the flesh is something that's there, and it's there, and it occupies, if you're not careful, it'll occupy all the time. And again, we're not told what it was, but whatever it was, it motivated Paul to hit his knees. A pastor friend of mine, he said, Ben, when I put together a conference on preaching, a lot of people want to come. If I put even a conference together on worship, a lot of people would come. But if I put a conference together on prayer, it's not the same. You know, I think there's probably two reasons for that. Reason number one is I certainly would feel inadequate to preach or teach at a conference on prayer because I feel like I have so much to learn. But prayer's hard. Prayer's hard work. We're used to seeing the results of what we do immediately. I mean, microwaves are too slow. Man, I got to microwave it for 4 minutes? We living in 1963? We're so used to things being visible that we can see the result of the labor that goes into it. But friends, prayer is the lungs of the church. One man put it this way: you can tell how popular a church is by the attendance on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular a preacher is by the attendance on Sunday night. You can tell how popular prayer is and the Lord is by the attendance at the prayer meeting. Now understand, people have responsibilities, you have jobs and different things that conflict. I know that. Hopefully you understand my heart here. The point of the matter is simply this: for this thing I besought the Lord. This is not casual. This is not, dear Lord, please bless this food to my body. And, oh, by the way, Lord, would you please take care of the thorn in the flesh? No, these are three seasons of prayer where Paul begged God. Maybe he said, God, I could serve you better if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh. Or, Lord, I could go to more places. Or I could be more effective for you. How many times have we prayed or thought something like that? I had a very, very small window into this by having a kidney stone in the fall. We had to cancel about 8 weeks, 8 sets of meetings, and it got impacted, and it wouldn't pass, and I had to do the whole rigmarole, you know, go in for operations and all this type of stuff. And I know many of you in this very room have gone through things much worse than that. I will say the pain was pretty intense. I don't recommend it. But I remember thinking to myself and talking with the Lord. Do you ever do that? You're just kind of talking with God. Lord, what about all these churches? I wanted to be a blessing to them. What are you doing, Lord? Maybe Paul prayed those things. I don't know, but he said, I besought the Lord. Isn't it interesting? The disciples never asked Jesus, the greatest preacher of all time, they never asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to preach. At least we don't have it recorded. They never said, Lord, teach us to cast out devils. Now, they did those things. They preached, they cast out devils. But what was the one thing that they asked the Lord to teach them? Lord, teach us to pray. Going through suffering not only rids us of pride, not only readies us to pray, but I want you to see, look in verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Look at the end of verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The third reason that God will allow a Christian to suffer is it renews us with power. Renews us with power. What's he saying here? For when I am weak, then I am strong. A lot of times we come to this passage and we think to ourselves, hey, after the difficulty, after the problem, after the sickness, after the relationship, after the roadblock, after, I'll become stronger. Now, that's not a bad thing to think. Hopefully, after we go through things, we come out on the other side stronger. That's not a bad thing to think, but that's not what he's saying here. He's not saying, after I have been weak, I'll become strong. No, he's saying simultaneously, while I am weak, I am simultaneously strong. Now, why would he say it that way? Because friends, tonight, I want you to understand something. Some of the greatest ministry you will have to others may come while you are going through a difficulty. And what is ministry anyway? Ministry is, there's a lot of different definitions. I came across this one. It's not original with me, but I love it. Ministry is anything I do or say to draw another person closer to Christ. I'll say that one more time. Ministry is anything I do or say to draw another person closer to Christ. You see, ministry, I hope and pray and trust, of course, that, and I'm sure this is the case, that most of the ministry that goes on at Worth Baptist Church doesn't occur in this building.
Say, Brother Ben, what do you mean? We're coming here for Sunday, and we come here for Wednesday, and we come here for different things. What do you mean, no ministry?
I didn't say no ministry. But most of the ministry is supposed to occur as we go out from here, as we bring the Lord. I mean, he's with us anyway, but we consciously bring the presence of the Lord with us wherever we are, whether we are at a spiritual, quote-unquote, function, or whether we're watching an athletic event. Ministry is anything I do or say to bring another person closer to Christ. I remember there was a pastor who was retired. He's still living. He's been around a long time. He pastored for 60-some years. In fact, on my ordination council, he was the only pastor that gave me a question that I couldn't quite come up with an answer to. And it was one of those, you know, small questions. You know, if you're curious, I'll tell you what the question was later. But I really respected him. Just a godly, godly man. Well, he had a stroke. And he had a real difficult time. If you've known anyone, or perhaps you yourself have had a family member, or you yourself even, it was hard for him to put sentences together coherently. So I wanted to spend some time with him, and I remember getting ready to go spend some time with him, and I thought to myself, I don't know if you're like this or not, but sometimes I'm praying and talking to myself at the same time. Lord, would you help me? I want to be a blessing. Ben, don't be an idiot. You know, Lord, please, I want to be a blessing. Ben, don't say something stupid. You know, that's my thought. Anyway, after spending 40 minutes with him, 45 minutes with him, can you guess who I think received the greater blessing? Maybe he would disagree, but I was so blessed. Why? Because Jesus Christ shone through him. And sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes it takes us going through that debilitating illness because we've gotten maybe too confident in self or whatever it might be, but it strips us of who we are so that Christ can shine through us. Oh, friends, maybe you're going through that difficulty. Maybe this is what God wants to do in your life. He wants to renew you with power to serve him in a special way that you don't know about yet. Look at the middle of verse 9. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore. Okay, he's got a therefore in there. This is a conclusion. This is what I'm going to do. Because of these things, this is what I'm deciding. Therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Verse 10, there's another therefore, isn't it? Isn't there? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Tonight, not only does suffering in the life of a Christian, not only is it designed to rid us of pride, not only does it ready us to pray, not only does it renew us with power, but finally tonight, it refocuses our perspective. It refocuses our perspective. He said he'd take pleasure in infirmities. That word infirmity, that's quite a word there. I mean, it basically means weakness, right? I told you, I just, you know, recently went over the hill, or I told, was it Brother Andrew? Yeah, we had wonderful meal this afternoon, and we were talking about different things, and what I've been surprised at is, you know, just little things that become big things, you know. Used to be, you know, I had a little kink in my ankle or something, just kind of go, and it's gone, you know, it's good to go. It's not that way anymore. I might go like that, and oh. And I know some of you are thinking right now in your minds, you ain't seen nothing yet. I know it. I know it. I feel it. My wife and I are trying to, you know, get back in shape. I'm already in a shape, but I'm trying to change that shape. But you know how that goes. Infirmity, something we used to trust. We used to be able to trust our strength, or we used to be able to trust our eyes, or we used to be able to trust our hearing. But Paul's saying, I take pleasure in this. Now listen, let's make one thing straight. Paul is not some kind of masochist where he's saying, oh, you know, pain automatically draws me closer to God. You know, asceticism, the idea that, you know, if I deny myself something, that God is more pleased with me. There's whole church doctrines that are built on that type of thing. No, no, friend, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that after the praying, after the wrestling, after, because that's what he's saying, therefore, right? He's saying, after all these things, okay, I'm making the choice. He was making a conscious choice to say, okay, Lord, I now know this is your will for me. So now that I know it's your will, I'll accept it. Friends, I don't believe it's wrong to argue with God sometimes or wrestle with God sometimes. We see some saints of God do that. It almost seems like the Lord likes that or desires that to some degree. And I don't claim to understand all of that, but I will say this. That there are moments when we draw close to God in times of struggling, in times where no one else can help. They want to. You might have a spouse that would gladly take some of that pain for you, you know. You might have a mother or a father that would gladly switch places with you, but it doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's just you and God. And you know what, friends? That's a whole perspective shift. I knew one lady who was an excellent musician as I was growing up. She played a stringed instrument, and she got a terrible disease called multiple sclerosis. I'm sure in a crowd this size, many of you have been touched either personally or with a family in some way. And it's like many of these diseases, it's a cruel disease. It gradually, in some cases more quickly, but in her case, it kind of gradually just started stealing from her abilities. She couldn't play her instrument anymore. And she had to get around with a cane, and then she had to get around on an Amigo, which is a brand name for a little thing. My grandmother, she's with the Lord now, but she had multiple sclerosis around, among other things. And as a kid, I remember I always wanted to drive that little cart, you know. She called it her shuttlecraft. But this lady, she would, as I got older and we were preaching more, as we would come back to town, she would show up in the back. And I'm not trying to be cruel here, people. Please understand this, okay? It's being recorded. So if you misunderstand, you can go back and listen, all right? There are two kinds of people that you will deal with in your life. There's energy givers and energy takers. And they're not always the same for every person, but there are some people you're around that just you just love being around and they charge you up. There are others that seem to take a whole lot of energy. All right? And she fell into that second category. Now, I'm not saying that she didn't have a rough life. I've not had that. And so I can't identify in that way. I'm not trying to be cruel or mean or anything. I'm just saying that when she would come in, I knew that at the end of the service, I'd need to block out 20 or 30 minutes to talk with her and just listen, really. as she told me about how horrible things were. And I would do that. Well, I don't remember how many years had gone, but I'll never forget this as long as I live. One day, she came to a Tuesday night meeting, I think it was, and she sat in the back, and I logged it in my head, okay, need to block out some time. She had never smiled. I couldn't remember what her smile looked like. I met her in the back lobby, and something was different. She smiled. I about fell over. And you know, we spent maybe 10 or 15 minutes that time. She didn't linger. Oh, she couldn't play the cello. She still had to get around with a cane. But you know what? We talked all about how great God was. We talked about how wonderful it is to be saved. Listen, I wasn't privy to the innermost thoughts of her heart. She's a single lady. She wasn't married to anyone. It was just her and God. But I would guarantee you that somewhere between the last time I saw her and that time, she had gotten alone with God and came to this conclusion. Therefore, because I know it's your will for me, I'll accept it. Now, friends, tonight, this is a scary message to preach. It's like preaching on patience. But being very straightforward with you tonight, it's a scary message to preach because, friends, I can preach it a whole lot easier than it is to live it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're finding yourself in that situation. You're going through a difficulty. Maybe it's not even a big thing compared to other people, but to you it's a big deal. Maybe it's a relationship issue and, boy, just things are not moving forward. Maybe it's a financial thing and no matter what you do, it's like you're in quicksand and you just keep drowning. Maybe it's a health situation that just won't resolve itself, or the doctors say, well, we're going to do what we can, but there's not much more we can do, and it's just frustrating. Whatever situation you find yourself in, friend, listen, our God never wastes pain. And if you're in that situation, oh, friend, tonight, realize there's purpose in it. Maybe that purpose is to rid you of pride. Maybe that purpose is to ready you to pray. Maybe that purpose is to renew you with power, or maybe it's to refocus your perspective. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. In a moment, Brother Andrew is going to come, and we're going to have a brief invitation time. I'm not going to drag it out long. But if you're here tonight with no one looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you'd say, Brother Ben, that message was for me tonight. If that's you, with no one looking around, I won't point you out or embarrass you, but if you'd say, that's me, Brother Ben, would you just lift your hand up, put it down, let me pray for you? Oh, many, many hands. Amen. Many ages, too. Amen. Yes, I see those. Maybe, yes, I see those, too. Thank you. Put those down. Yes, I see that. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight, so you know, Brother Ben, I've not yet trusted Christ. I'm going through difficulty, but I don't have anyone to go through the difficulty with. I need to trust Christ tonight. Friend, in a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and have a brief time of invitation. If that's you, I want to encourage you, friend. Would you come to the front? We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, show you from God's word how you can trust Christ tonight.
Yes.
But dear believer, are you tired? Is that message for you? After we pray, we'll stand to our feet. And if you want to spend some time with the Lord, I'll encourage you to do so. Dear Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you allowed Paul to have this difficulty in his life. It shows us that he struggled too. And Lord, many hands were lifted all across the auditorium tonight. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's just stand to our feet at the moment. As the piano plays, friend, the altar's open. If you want to spend some time with God, let me encourage you. Come and kneel. As you know, it's not magic to come forward, but it's special to spend some quiet time alone with God immediately. Oh, what a wonderful song. Rejoice in the Lord. I shall come forth as gold. As she finishes this verse, pastor's going to come and close as he sees fit. But I encourage you, if the Lord motivates you to do so, respond to Him. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing to know that our pain is not purposeless. Maybe here tonight and you yourself are not experiencing this difficulty, but loved one is, family member, friend, take some time now and pray for them that they'd be receptive to the will of the Lord. Oh, that's so vitally important. Amen. Brother Andrew, what number is this?
825.
825? Let's turn to that, if you would, please, tonight. I'm so glad you picked this song. It's one of my favorites. Brother Andrew's going to come. Let's join together and sing this song. What wonderful truth there is here. Rejoice in the Lord.